Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 12th and final round.
Right hand, Golovkin steps in and down he goes again. Unbelievable. Mayweather makes him pay. What a rookie mistake. A sensational left hook by De La Hoya.
It's facts. I'm the best. You know what I mean? Sometimes I don't want to believe it myself, but it's the truth. I'm the best.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
From Southern California, this is the Last Round Podcast.
Episode 12 of the Last Round Podcast. I'm Danny Z with my co-host Michael Shepard. And for all of you listening who expected to hear Mauricio Herrera, who fights on the Canelo Fielding card next Saturday in Madison Square Garden, he unfortunately couldn't be here today. He's feeling a little under the weather. Right, Mike? Because I think he reached out to you.
Yeah, he reached out to me. He apologized for not being able to come on. He said that, obviously, with his fight being next week, he wanted to stay in for the next couple of days. Obviously, you know, working as hard as those guys do, being professional fighters, they come kind of susceptible in the last few weeks, obviously before fight camp, to, you know, being under the weather. And at the minute, we've got some pretty bad weather, some floods in Southern California, if our UK fans could actually believe that, you know? We actually do get a little bit of rain, don't we, Danny Z, over in Southern California?
Yeah, it's not just all sun and flowers over here in the Southern California, Los Angeles area. Well, we do get rain, so it does happen. So we get fires and then we get rain. So we get it all over the place, though. So I don't know. It's a wacky, crazy spot to live in. But, you know, we'll try to reschedule, of course, with Mauricio, which will likely be after his fight, obviously. So maybe sometime in the first quarter of next year, he'll come on, talk about his fight. You know, what's coming up next in his career. But, man, I really wanted to talk to him, though, because he, like how we, when we tweeted out that the Mexican judge from Tyson Fury Wilder was also one of the judges for when Mauricio Herrera fought Danny Garcia, so it would have been a perfect conversation. Yeah. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, of course, like you say, he's got to take care of himself, especially in a big fight, Madison Square Garden next week on the Canelo Fielding card, so... But we'll get him back on. So I'm sure he'll come on in the first quarter of next year, 2019. But, you know, let's just jump right into it. My favorite fighter and yours, the Hornet, Jeff Horn from Down Under in Australia, stops Anthony Mundine in the first round.
I think it was, 90 seconds in? It was a kind of a funny knockout. Kind of caught him with a left hook, and Mundine went down. It didn't look like he fully connected, so I don't know whether Mundine just got in there and realized, you know, that because the weight cut, they were really strict with Mundine, because did you know he actually fought as high as cruiserweight in the last couple of years? Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he'd gone all the way up to cruiserweight. He was literally just taking money fights, I think.
So he was like Darnell Boone.
Yeah, dude, he was just all over the place. So like they had strict rules, like every pound that he was over the weight. They did the weigh-in on the day before, and then I think they did the weigh-in on the day to make sure that he didn't shoot up. So he had a huge fine if he didn't do it, but he made the weight. But I don't know whether that was one of the reasons that he just got blown out so quickly because of, obviously, you know, age and having to cut weight.
I mean, maybe. Like I don't think, how's that good for your body when you're going up and down,
exactly,
just fluctuating?
You know, so. When you're in your, what is he, was he 41 or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know whether, you know, he took the money and cashed out because it didn't look like the hook actually like fully connected him.
I noticed that. It didn't look like it really made an impact, but maybe he took a dive. I don't know.
Yeah. But some allegations there, Danny Z. I don't want
to. Oh, God.
You know.
We can dedicate a whole show to allegations and conspiracy theories and all that stuff behind the sport. I think we're going to have to one day. It's coming up soon. But obviously, Horn... defeated Mundine in TKO in first round. He's now 19-1, right? Or is it 20-1?
19-1 now, I believe. Who'd you see next for Jeff on?
Well, I mean, like, you got to give it to him because like he's obviously the most. He should be the most well-known Australian fighter at the moment. You know, obviously his profile went up when he fought Pacquiao, and I'm not gonna say he beat Pacquiao, but. You know, he got the title, and then he fought Crawford over here in Vegas. They fought in Vegas, right? Yeah, he was in Vegas. So, you know, Horn's still a young guy. He's the most dangerous teacher in the world. So, you know, I could see him still getting fights with, like, some of these top welterweights when they don't have anybody to fight. you know, just because he is kind of a name now, they're like, hey, you know, well, you can fight me. We can still make some money. You know, I might not be the competition that these other guys are, but, you know, I can hold my own. So he's a name. So, you know, he'll still be able to get some money fights. What do you think?
I'm wondering that because BoxRec had the Mundine fight as a middleweight fight. And then he's listed on BoxRec as the world number 5 at middleweight.
Horn?
So I don't know whether he's officially moved up or whether just that fight against Mundine, because I touched on, you know, he'd gone as high as cruiserweight, Mundine. So I don't know whether that was just a catchweight fight or whether Jeff Horn's officially moved up to middleweight. Because look at BoxRec, he's listed as the fifth best middleweight. One above Billy Joe Saunders, surprisingly.
Oh, wow. Billy Joe's not going to like that.
So I'm not too sure which weight he's actually going to, you know, settle at. He's probably going to go back down to welterweight. I know he struggled to make weight a couple of times in his fights.
Yeah.
So maybe he has moved up. I haven't heard anything official.
Maybe. I mean, or maybe he'll just stick in the middle at 154.
I mean, welterweight or middleweight, I'm sure he'll clear up wherever he goes.
Well, that's interesting. So you never know. He could be like, I'm staying at middleweight. I want Canelo. I want Triple G. What the hell? Like, where did that come from? But, you know, we'll see. You never know with the Hornet. You never know until he stings you.
Exactly. Yeah.
So don't get stung by the Hornet. And then we'll go to the Showtime pay-per-view card from last Saturday at the Staples Center in Los Angeles. Jarrett Hurd stops a very game Jason Wellborn. He was very game. Did you see that?
Yeah, the fans took to him. Obviously, it was a huge step up for Jason Wellborn. Literally, I think around a year ago, he was fighting in some small town halls in you know, the back of Beyond in England. Got a few good victories. Obviously, took the British title, you know, and then got offered. I think he only got paid officially like $30,000
for this fight against Hurd.
To fight against Hurd, where Hurd took home $1 million, and Jason Wellborn, the official ones from California, was he got $30,000. So I think it was, you know, obviously just give him some money and he gets a chance at the titles.
Yeah,
you know, something, you know, Jason Wellborn, you know, would have been dreaming of a year ago, fighting in small town halls. So it was a good fight for him. He came in, he was pretty game. I think he just thought, you know what, I'm the underdog. I'm just going to go in. I'm just going to go for it.
He actually got some pretty solid shots in on Hurd.
Yeah.
You can tell Hurd was kind of getting annoyed by it. He's like, damn, this stupid guy. Like, and he was, you know, I remember I was watching. I was like, what the hell? I was like, he's actually putting in the work. And there was a lot of English fans there because of Fury and, mm-hmm. you know, coming from across the pond. And they were behind him and stuff. He had the crowd behind him mostly. But I knew when Hurd started getting those hooks to the body from round one, I was like, oh, he's... Hurd, you know, got hit, but Hurd kept going to the body. I was like, okay, that's where he's going to beat him. And that's exactly how he stopped him. He stopped him in the fourth round with a body shot.
That was a beautiful shot.
It was nice, yeah. But I knew it from and I think Hurd knew it too. He's like, okay, well, he keeps coming forward at me to obviously try to overwhelm me. I'm going to slow him down with body shots, and eventually I'm going to just stop him. And that's exactly what happened, so it was smart.
It's a beautiful kind of like uppercut body shot, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Kind of took the wind.
I think it was left hook.
Yeah, just took the wind out of him.
Oh, yeah, he couldn't get up. Couldn't get up. But, you know, I thought it was cool. Hurd, you know, I think a lot of people, and myself included, thought, okay, you know, Hurd's going to run over this guy a couple rounds and it's not going to be that exciting. He's going to stop him. But, you know, I thought it was cool because, I guess everybody's expectations were low.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, obviously, you know, I still read all the news from back home, and I think even, you know, the British fans kind of realized, like, hey, this is... Just like he's going to go in and is the underdog, and a good performance from Jason Wellborn, you know, would be enough. And he really gave one of those performances where I could see him again being on TV, maybe even over here.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, he went in there, he gave a good account of himself. And even the American fans, you could see kind of turned to him because they were kind of like, hey, this guy's going for it.
Yeah.
He's not just going to come over here and get turned over.
I think he got the respect.
Yeah, like, you know, we just said about Mundine, where we were kind of like, did he really get knocked out? Or did he just take the money grab? You know, Jason Wellborn didn't do that. He did the complete opposite.
Yeah.
So it was kind of cool. But, you know, for Jarrett Hurd, I believe the talk is he's going to be facing Junior Williams now.
Oh, J-Rock Williams?
Yeah, because he was on the undercard. He was a last-minute replacement.
Yeah, he didn't want to call out Charlo, because Charlo went into the ring.
Yeah.
And then if you kind of watch the interaction, Charlo got the best of him because Hurd was kind of... was kind of shaken by it,
yeah.
As you can kind of tell. And then I think Jim Gray asked him, you know, you want to fight Charlo? And he's like, oh, we're going to get one more fight first, and then, you know, we'll look at that. And it's like, oh, come on, man. Like, you know, I mean, I get it. You know, whatever. They're building up to it. But Charlo went up in there and was just like, hey, I'm right here.
So. It was funny because he wouldn't let Herd talk. Was he kind of talking over him?
Yeah.
And then you could see Herd was kind of like, hey, you know what? Like, I hold the power. I mean, I've got the belts. Like, I'll fight you when I want to fight you. Yeah. It was kind of funny. So it'd be kind of, I want to see the fight, but it looks like Herd now is kind of like, you know what? I want to make you wait because you keep shouting so much and you wouldn't let me talk and kind of showed him up, like you said.
Yeah.
Because he's got places, people he can fight. He's got the Charlos and also Munguia. Munguia would be a great fight, like we kind of touched on last week.
Do you think that would actually pan out, though? I mean, Munguia technically is fighting on DAZN now, I think, you know, being promoted by Golden Boy mostly.
Yeah, he'll be on DAZN, yeah.
I mean, it could happen, obviously. They both have belts unification, but he's going to fight the Charlos before he even touches Munguia.
So. Yeah, I'd like to see either of those. It'd be some great fights.
But, yeah, I'm excited for Herd. He did his thing. And like you said, he's going to likely fight Julian Williams. Who actually fought Charlo. They fought in USC out here in LA. I don't know if you were at that fight, but it was a PBC fight. Charlo fought Julian Williams. I remember, was it out here? Or was it? Yeah, I think it was out here because I was at that fight. I remember watching that fight, but he stopped him. So, you know, Herd's fighting the same guy. You know, they're building up to it. I get it. And then going to the first fight technically that happened, the first significant fight that happened in the day, happened in Canada. It was shown here in the States on Showtime YouTube. They streamed it for free, which was actually pretty cool. Donna Stevenson, who held the WBC light heavyweight title, put it up against Alexander Bozdik, the Nail.
The Nail.
And did you watch that fight?
I did, good fight.
I caught the last couple rounds, and it was actually pretty entertaining.
Yeah, it was a good fight, better than I kind of expected after, you know, Stunner Stevenson and Badu Jack. The Nail, like, really, really went for it. He went in there. Teddy Atlas, that was his first time in the corner for the Nail.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing game plan. It's kind of kept him away the whole time, circling away from Adonis's left hook.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the whole time. Kind of told him, like, hey, you know, go in there, throw a few, and just keep on your feet, keep moving. Keep circling away from Adonis's left hook and, you know, tried to drag him. You know, it looked like the game plan was to drag him into those later rounds because Adonis Stevenson, you know, apart from obviously when he fought Badu Jack in his last fight, never really used to go the full 12 rounds because he's always
had stamina isn't there.
Yeah, he's always had the power to get people out of there. And obviously, you know, he's obviously getting older. So it was a good game plan. I love Teddy Atlas's.
Imagination.
We are piranhas.
Yeah.
Take little bites or whatever it was, you know. He's always good.
You think he thinks about that stuff like before a fight and like he goes in there and like wants to think about like, okay, I'm going to say this at this time. Like he knows it.
We are firefighters.
Yeah.
There's another great one from Teddy Atlas. It was good though. And you could see what the analogy was supposed to be, like take little bites, get in, get out. So it was funny. As soon as he said that, Twitter blew up. Everybody was, you know, saying like, we are piranhas.
I'm telling you, man, you can never go wrong with Teddy Atlas. He is entertainment. So
yeah, it was good though to see him back and the game plan, what he was saying in the corner was spot on.
Yeah. But obviously the Nail stopped him in round 11. And, oh, man, that combination was nasty in the corner.
It fell through the ropes, didn't it?
Just fell through the ropes. And, the Nail was very compact, stuck to the game plan, boxed him, found the openings. And even that those ending shots, that ending combo that obviously ultimately stopped Stevenson was a beautiful combo. Beautiful combo. And then, you know, he stops him, and then the fight's over, and then, you know, on Twitter, obviously, people are all excited because, like, oh, finally, the belt's away from Canada, you know, because, you know, Stevenson couldn't fight outside of Canada because he had, like, visa issues because of, you know, his criminal history and everything. So, but now that the Nail has the belt, he's obviously going to be able to defend it over here in the States. So, we should be able to get a pretty solid, some pretty solid title defenses from the Nail now.
It's looking like that Oxnard stable. The Ukrainians are actually taking over boxing. You know, you got Lomachenko, Usyk, and the Nail all in the same training camp. All with Edgar Klimas.
They're all champions.
All world
champions
in different divisions.
That's insane.
Taking over boxing.
They are taking over boxing. But you know, congratulations to the Nail, obviously. But you know, we do want to give out our condolences and our thoughts and prayers to Stevenson because he. I think the last time I heard, he was in a coma. They put him in a medically induced coma. And he wasn't doing so well. There was reports that he was in stable condition, but then he was critical, and mm-hmm. now he's back to critical. So, you know, we're hoping for the best. You know, regardless, you know, we never want to see fighters get hurt like that. You know, it is a risk you take when you go through those ropes. But hopefully Stevenson pulls through, and you know, there's not. He doesn't have long-lasting medical effects because of this. Because it was a brutal shot. It was a brutal shot. And obviously he's never – I mean, would that have happened if he was younger? Or do you think age played a factor, his body? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, like you say, you don't know whether it was, you know, kind of more susceptible due to his age and condition. But like you say, we'll never know. And just know from everybody at the last round, we just wish him a speedy recovery.
Absolutely. So, yeah, Stevenson, you know, pull through, man. Get up from that 10 count. And obviously, you know, he might retire after this, but, you know, he might still have a couple more fights left in him. But on to fight previews. This Saturday, the 8th, in Sheffield Arena in Sheffield, United Kingdom, over there in your side of the world, Kell Brook, the special one, is back fighting Michael Zarafa. You know, obviously Kell Brook is obviously the favorite, but he's never really been the same after he fought Triple G, and then he fought Spence, and then Triple G worked, I think, got the, was it the right eye, the orbital bone, and then Spence worked on the left eye. Like, it's just, man, like, I still think that Brook is a great fighter. I still think he's a great fighter, but he might be a little bit more timid because of the injuries that he suffered. What do you think?
Yeah, the injuries did seem to kind of affect him a little bit. I was a big fan of Kell Brook, you know, when he was coming up, and but he seemed to, if you look at his record, he's kind of, there's only two real big fights have been Errol Spence and, you know, Gennady Golovkin, of the worldwide sort of people that you kind of recognize. The rest of them have been more mainly British, like your Frankie Gavins and, you know, all those sorts of people, like Matthew Hatton is another one. You know, obviously his biggest win
was
when
Sean Porter.
I was just about to say, his biggest win was obviously Sean Porter when he came over here. Apart from those, most of them have been kind of domestic. I think those injuries, like you touched on, have kind of affected him a little bit. I don't know whether it's affected his confidence. You know, he's not so much open up and try and finish people off when he gets the chances, you know, in case he gets countered. But he says, you know, he's change of trainer for this fight. He's gone with... I can't remember the guy's name. Somebody he used to fight, he fought against as an amateur. I can't remember the guy's name. I was actually listening to the interview with him this morning in the press conference. But he's gone away from Dominic Ingle anyway, because Ingle was busy, obviously, you know, training Billy Joe Saunders, training Kid Galahad. So he's gone to a different trainer for this camp. He says he's happy. He feels a lot fitter, and he says he's going to come back, obviously, as a better fighter. The Michael Zarafa is an Australian guy. He's fighting... He actually fought a few years ago for Peter Quinlan, got and lost that fight. That's probably, you know, his biggest fight he's touched on. Most of his other fights have mainly been in Australia, and he's a part-time model.
Is he really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He's a part-time model, so.
Oh, wow.
I think this is obviously a fight for Kell Brook to look good, obviously, because everyone's wanting him to fight Amir Khan.
Down the line. That's literally the slowest burn I've ever seen. Like, you know, they've been dancing around each other for years.
Did you hear who else called him out? Who else called Kell Brook out? It was Jarrett Hurd.
He did?
Yeah.
In an
interview.
Not the post fight.
No, not at the post fight, but in a recent interview on a podcast I heard. It was Jarrett Hurd.
Oh, wow. I would like that.
That'd be a good fight.
I would like that.
Clash of styles,
obviously.
I mean, like,
obviously, Hurd would be the favorite, but... I still think Brook, you know, has the talent to at least stay competitive and have a chance to win, even though he's had the injuries. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. So that's this Saturday in Sheffield, UK. And also on Saturday, pound for pound, best in the world to many, many people. Vasyl Lomachenko is in a unification bout against Jose Pedraza for the WBA and WBO lightweight titles. Lightweight world titles are on the line. That's in New York on ESPN, Madison Square Garden. I mean, you know, I know Pedraza has a title, but this is a one-sided fight. It's just, you know, it's a unification fight. It's two world champions, which is great. You know, it's historic. But Lomachenko is levels above Pedraza. Pedraza's good. I mean, he has talent, but I mean, you can't really get close to the level of talent that Lomachenko has. I mean, you just can't.
No, I agree. I think Lomachenko's obviously going to be the huge favorite going into this. I think most people are just obviously going to be wondering how he comes back from the right shoulder surgery he had after the Jorge Linares fight. But yeah, he's going to go in as a huge favorite. Obviously, the sniper comes in after a good win, and when he took the title from Ray Beltran, two top-ranked fighters. But I see Lomachenko finishing him in, you know, around the middle rounds, probably around six, round seven. Maybe even another one of those where the sniper just kind of, you know, goes away and is still... Lomachenko's not really the greatest puncher. It just seems to be combinations, you know, just ties people down and people get to the point where they're like, you know what, I'm giving up because I can't even touch him.
Yeah.
So
no, that's what's going to happen, I'm telling you.
Yeah, it should be a decent-ish fight, though. You know, the sniper, he looked good against Ray Beltran.
Yeah.
Like his name says, he doesn't really waste many punches.
Yeah.
He's very accurate. So it's going to be a good clash of styles. You know, I'd like to see Lomachenko win this and then obviously step up and take one of those huge, like, defining fights. You know, he doesn't really shy away from anybody. I would have liked to have seen him take the Mikey Garcia fight, maybe even go back and fight... you know, Jorge Linares, because obviously Mikey's fighting Errol Spence.
I can see him giving Linares a rematch.
Yeah, I would like to see that.
I can see it because Mikey said he can still make 135, but obviously he's fighting Spence in March. So that's out of the picture, at least for a while. But I could see Lomachenko, because there's no competition out there, I could see Linares having one more fight, maybe in February. Or maybe even January, I don't know. He fought a couple months ago out here in Fantasy Springs. But I can see him having one more fight and then making a rematch with Lomachenko, just because Linares is a name and obviously, you know, he's got the talent. He did knock him down. So he does have some type of claim to a rematch, even though Lomachenko did stop him. But I mean, like, who else is there that's a name at 135 that Lomachenko can fight and can give him competition?
Now that's the big question. You know, like, the only ones in the top, say the top five that he, you know, he hasn't actually fought would be the English guys of obviously like Luke Campbell, and obviously he's mandatory if or when Matt Lomachenko beats Pedraza is obviously Anthony Crawler. You know, because Crawler won the WBO mandatory fight in his last fight, and I think they were talking about making that at the start of next year over in England. You know, just some more exposure, really, of Lomachenko to the English fans.
Yeah.
But that's another fight I see, obviously.
Well, yeah, know. That's the thing.
I mean, Linares took out Crawler fairly easily, and Lomachenko took out Linares, so...
Yeah.
You know, and there's levels to this game.
Yeah.
You know, and they're not on the same level. You know, it's a big fight for Crawler, but I don't see... Those are two fights. Pedraza should be an easy fight for Lomachenko, essentially, as long as his shoulder holds up okay. And Crawler is another one. I mean, that would be a huge underdog story if Crawler managed to beat
Lomachenko. Yeah, I mean, like you said, Crawler's already lost twice to Linares. And I'm telling you, I could see you know what, though? But Linares technically now isn't with... Golden Boy doesn't have an ESPN contract. That's why it was kind of easier to make Lomachenko Linares on ESPN, because they were both... That was both their network that their promoters had contracts with. But now that Linares is essentially a DAZN fighter, I mean, how's that going to work? You know, are they going to let Linares go back to ESPN and fight? I don't know.
Because Top Rank don't normally really like doing that sort of stuff. You know, they're very in-house.
Yeah. So that's the thing. Like, I mean, who could he fight after Pedraza? Realistically.
Looking at the top 10, obviously, we've got Robert Easter Jr., Richard Comey, Javier Fortuna, Emmanuel, Tabo, and Gamboa.
I mean, none of those can really, you know, I don't know. None of those are realistic to me. None of them.
Does he move up in weight? Does he move back down in weight? That's the thing, you know, because none of those are mouth-watering fights that we...
Honestly, I could see him saying, look, between 130 and 140, whoever wants to fight. And I can see him doing that. I can see him saying, Gervonta Davis, you want to fight at 130? I'll go down. I'll go down and fight you.
I mean, that's a great fight. I mean, obviously.
Honestly, I think that's his best bet. It's just like Mikey. Mikey admits that. He's just like, look, man, like, I want to fight people with a name now. Like, it's not even really about titles anymore. Like, I want to, like, that's why he never signed the contract when he was supposed to fight before they made the Spence fight. Who was he supposed to fight?
He was supposed to fight Comney.
Yeah.
The mandatory.
That's right. He never signed it. He never signed it because he knew, like, you know, the Spence fight is kind of there.
Risk and reward. The Comney fight was going to be nothing. It's not a pay-per-view fight. The payday wasn't going to be great. If you're in the position of Mikey, well, there's no point in him fighting someone like Comney. He might as well relinquish the belt and fight a bigger name.
Yeah. I mean, he's becoming a legacy fighter now. So I get it. Like, he's getting to that point where he's becoming bigger than the belts. And I think Lomachenko is essentially there or getting there. So, honestly, I think it's in Lomachenko's best interest, which he probably won't, but he should say, look, man, anybody between 130 and 140, I'm in. You know, off Davis.
The Davis would be...
Frampton.
The Davis would be a great fight because it's kind of like the WWE. You've got the good guy, the clean-cut guy in Lomachenko, and you've got the bad guy in Davis, who's always keep calling people out on social media. You know, if for some reason the Abner Mares and Gervonta Davis fight doesn't go ahead... You know, I would definitely want to see that. Or if that fight does go ahead, Mares and Gervonta Davis, maybe the winner of that faces Lomachenko at the end of 2019.
Davis is going to beat Mares. Mares is just too small. And I mean, but we talked about that last time. Mm-hmm. You know, depends what kind of Davis we get. If it's the Adrian Broner Davis.
Yeah, exactly. That comes in like overweight, you know, that sort of stuff.
But
he's got, obviously, that happened to him on the Las Vegas fight on the Mayweather and McGregor undercard.
Yeah.
When he lost his title due to coming in overweight. But I mean, I'd love that. He fights Pedraza, beats Pedraza, fights Anthony Crawler for the mandatory, beats Crawler, and then the end of 2019, we see him fight like either Mares or Gervonta Davis.
I think he has to, man. Like, he doesn't, Top Rank doesn't have any options here in terms of names. Like, they need to put him against names now, especially now that, because Lomachenko and Mikey's names are kind of like parallel, and Mikey's been showing him up. Like, look, man, like, I'm fighting these big names, like, you know, like, I mean, I get it. He has more options. But, you know, he's going up, like, two divisions to fight the most dangerous fighter in the welterweight division. Like,
Bob Arum, I'm sure you're listening. You know, just give me and Danny Z a call. We'll sort out the stable for you.
We'll do it.
We'll sort out 2019.
We can make it work. Trust us. We can make it work. Just give us a chance and we'll do it. We'll do it. We'll be the top-ranked consultants. We can do it. Southern California Consultants. Top Rank sponsoring the Last Round. Sounds pretty good, huh? Last round podcast sponsored by Top Rank Boxing.
Yeah, I would allow Top Rank to sponsor us, Danny.
I would allow it to.
Yeah.
Bob Arum, you're listening. Take it into consideration. Next, Isaac Dogbo, or is it Dogbay?
Dogbay, I think.
I think it's Dogbay. Puts his title on the line, WBO Super Bantamweight title, who he defeated Jesse Magdaleno for against Mason Maynard. Emmanuel Neveret. Excuse me. What do you think?
It should be a good fight, looking at Neveret's record. As in terms of, he's had 25 fights, 22 knockouts, and then only just one loss. It's definitely the biggest fight Neveret has ever fought. Most of his fights coming just back home in Mexico. This is obviously a fight that I think they've made that's not going to go the full 12 rounds. Dogbay likes to get people out of there like he has done in his last couple of fights. Navrate, the same. I think it's another fight which has obviously been picked out for Dogbay to look good, you know, before he obviously moves on and gets obviously a bigger fight down the road. I think Dogbay gets rid of him in the first half of the fight, you know, around like round four, round five. I think Dogbay will get him out of there because he's been picked to make Dogbay look good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Dogbay's on those fights right now where he, you know, trying to make him look good and stuff. And then I'm assuming next year he's going to start fighting, like, the bigger names at that bantamweight. But, you know, that's obviously more of a showcase fight, right?
It's a showcase fight. Navrate somehow is ranked ninth in the world at that weight category. I'm not really too sure how, since he's never really fought anybody of note. You know, most of them are just at home in Mexico. But... after this, you know, I'd like to see Dogbay obviously move on, fight one of the bigger names, you know, try and unify some of the titles in that division. Ray Vargas would be obviously be a good one. One of the fighters that's close to us, Danny Roman, a local Southern California fighter. He's been
a cool fight.
That'd be a cool fight. Clash of styles as well. Danny Roman actually kind of, after his last victory over Gavin McDonald, said that he would be open to trying to unify, get some of the bigger names. And he was hoping to fight at home in Southern California, you know, try and get the Staples Center or StubHub.
He looked good in that last fight on DAZN too.
Yeah.
That was a good performance.
He did. That was one of his better performances because he's not known to get fighters out of there, but he did against McDonald. You know, being obviously our UK fans know the McDonald brothers.
Yeah.
So that would be one of the fights I'd like to see. Even TJ Dahini, you know, the Australian fighter that holds one of the titles, would be a good one. Diego De La Hoya, another local fighter to this area. True. But is he going to stay at that weight category after...
Yeah, he's been missing weight.
The last two fights.
Yeah, so honestly, I think when we hear about him, when he comes back, I think they're going to move him up in weight. Like, hey, you know what? Since you're 0-2, you got to move up.
Yeah.
It's not working.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And obviously, Jesse Magdaleno been another one. You know, he's got healed up, but the rumor is he's moving up in weight category. So maybe we won't see the rematch.
Probably won't, at least not anytime soon.
No.
But moving on, we got Teofimo Lopez. The Fortnite dancer. I don't know if you remember that, but he did that Fortnite dance. And I think it was an ESPN Top Rank card. So I think it was this year.
Yeah, it was this year.
Fighting Mason Maynard for the vacant NABF lightweight title. Mason Maynard's 34-3.
Yeah, Mason Maynard's not a bad record. It's a good step up for Teofimo Lopez. He's hopefully going to end the year with another victory. One of my fighters, I would say, of this year, a breakout contender.
Yeah.
Definitely one to watch. He's got a nice style. He talks well.
He's got a big upside.
He's definitely got a big upside. You know, when he gets himself out there, I think he understands, Danny Z, that not only do you need to, you know, fight well, look well, you need to be able to talk well. He's got, you know, people like Conor McGregor and Tyson Fury.
Personality.
You know, he's got the personality. He's good on the mic. He does the dances. He does stuff like that. He gets himself out there. Like, he did as you touched on, the Fortnite dance, which blew up on social media.
That was huge.
Blew up on social media.
That was huge, because even media handles or media companies who don't even cover boxing, they stay away from boxing, pick that up, because Fortnite is a global phenomenon, that game.
Mm-hmm.
And that was big, because he was like, oh, hell yeah. And I'm sure Top Rank was like, hell yeah, we love this.
Yeah, exactly.
That was big publicity for him. So, you know, obviously he's a favorite. He's likely to get that W and then move on, and I'm sure he's going to try to get some big step. I mean, they still might give him some showcase fights next year, a couple more, mm-hmm. before they actually put him in there with some competitive talent. But, you know, he's 10-0, so he's building his resume, building his profile. So he's got time. So it'll go from there. But also Saturday's a busy day. The final HBO card ever. The final HBO card ever at the StubHub Center here in Carson, California, which is just outside of downtown Los Angeles. It's a historic card. It's essentially an all-female card. Undisputed IBO, IBF, WBA, WBC, and WBO welterweight female world champion Cecilia Brækhus fights Alexandra. How do you pronounce her name? Help me out. Magdziak?
I think it's Magdziak Lopez, is it?
Lopez?
Yeah.
Brækhus was Lopez. That's the main event. The last HBO card. You know, I've seen people complain on Twitter and online saying, oh, you know, how could this be the last HBO card? But you got to think about it. Like, you know, they're not really, they don't have the money anymore. All the fighters that they had, they're not under contract anymore. They don't have Canelo. They don't have Triple G, Jacobs. They don't have these guys anymore. They're not under contract. So they're like, well, why are we going to pay these guys all this money? And you know, they're getting out of the business. So they're like, okay, well, why are we going to spend the money? But, you know, it's a historic card. It's a female card. And Brækhus is obviously the undisputed welterweight world champion. She's obviously she's looked at as the best pound for pound female fighter. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. I think she's one of the pound for pound best female fighters.
34-0, man.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's not something you can really deny. You know, when someone's 34-0, obviously everybody knows that the female competition in the minute, the pool's not the greatest. But at the end of the day, she can only fight the women that are there, you know?
Yeah. The female pool isn't really that saturated.
That's no, exactly. You know, that's why, you know, they have to move up and down down in weight a lot to get to fight the bigger names to get those paydays. But I think obviously at the minute they're going to try to, you know, put it, Cecilia's in there as the headliner. Then obviously the co-main, you've got Clarissa Shields. They're hoping both of those to win. And then I imagine obviously Shields will get in the ring, do a face-off with.
I could see that because middleweight, what, 160 and Bray Cruz is at 147?
Yeah.
So I could see that, but honestly,
because Clarissa Shields, if you remember in her last fight, they were talking to her and she was saying that her trainer said that she could go as low as 147, but Clarissa was saying that she didn't think she could. She thought she could go as low as, I think it was 154.
If they fight at 154, this could probably work, but I don't see Breakhouse going up to 160.
You know, exactly. Yeah, I totally agree. I think there would either be a catch weight or they'll meet in the middle.
Yeah. And I honestly favor Shields in that one. So
just because what the. She's younger, fitter fighter, or
yeah. I just think Shields has a killer instinct in her.
Yeah, she definitely has a killer instinct. I'm not a big fan of her on social media. She seems
a lot of people aren't big fans of like her personality outside, but like in the ring, she's got talent.
Yeah, definitely, she's definitely got talent. I think the thing about her is she tries to talk a good game, but she doesn't really get anybody out of there. She knows she makes out that she's a real badass and this, but she, you know, at the minute she doesn't really see it. You know, I'd like to see her in some bigger fights, obviously Breakers, Katie Taylor, people like that down the line, you know.
I'm sure she will. I mean, like, it seems like she's not really tied to any network right now. I mean, she fought on Showtime just before this. Now she's fighting on HBO. Didn't she fight on DAZN? Or am I confused? Or Katie Taylor?
Katie Taylor fights on DAZN.
Oh. But, you know, so Shields seems like in terms of network, she had a little bit more flexibility, so... you know, those fights can be made. Obviously the IBF, WBA, WBC, and WBC middleweight titles, world titles, are going to be on the line for the Clarissa Shields bout against, how do you pronounce this? Femke Hermans?
Yeah, I think it's Femke Hermans. She's a Belgian fighter. She's been in with a couple of the female names that you'd know, Nikki Adler, who was for the WBO world female super middleweight title back in actually in May of this year, where she won by unanimous decision. She also fought, she's been busy this year. This will actually be her 1, 2, 3, 4. This will be her fifth fight in 2018.
Shit.
At the start of the year, she fought Alicia Napoleon. Yeah. Actually lost that fight for the WBA super middleweight title, unanimous decision over 10 rounds. So, you know, she's been in there with some of the upper echelons of
pretty
the.
Pretty decent names.
Yeah, some pretty decent names. So, it should be a good fight, you know, one of the bigger names in that division. So.
Yeah, we'll see.
A good scalp for her.
And then
Clarissa Shields.
Yeah, it is. But obviously Shields is a favorite in that, so she'll likely get that win. And like you said, I could see her going into the ring after Breakhouse's fight, especially if Breakhouse wins, and be like, hey, you know, we're probably the two biggest names in the sport of female boxing. Let's get it on, like 154 or something like that. I could see it. So you never know. You never know. And then we have Juan El Gallo Estrada, who was actually supposed to be Chocolatito in this fight, but Chocolatito had to have surgery on what? What did he have surgery on?
His leg?
Was it his leg?
I think it was something like that.
Yeah, something happened. He had to have surgery, so they scratched him from the card, which sucks, but at least they got Estrada in there, and Estrada's been in a couple Superfly cards, and he's exciting. He's fighting Victor Mendez, so that's exciting. You know, at least they got some Superfly fighters on there. That should be cool, you know, and especially if Estrada wins. You know, they might try to make Chocolatito Estrada. Didn't again, right? It'd be a rematch.
It'd be a rematch, so, you know, for Superfly. Would it be 4 next year?
I think so. So I could see that. I could see that. But I mean, obviously, it wouldn't be on HBO. So it'd be on
wherever Tom Loughlin lands.
Wherever Triple G goes, which he's supposed to make a decision by the end of the year. They said so.
So DAZN, we'll see him on DAZN.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, they said he met with Al Haymon, PBC officials. And ESPN, so I don't know. But he knows he has to go to DAZN.
So would that be ESPN, Fox, or DAZN?
I mean, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. I'd kind of be intrigued if he went to, like, Fox Showtime.
Mm.
He's like, oh, yeah, let's get the Charlos. Like, oh, man. Like, where did that come from, you know? I'd be intrigued by that. I wouldn't necessarily be opposed to that. I wouldn't, honestly. So, but going to the news and notes of the show. Your favorite fighter and mine, second favorite fighter of mine, Amir King Khan, is rumored to fight Terrence Crawford in March 2019. Khan was offered what, $5 million?
$5 million, they say. Guaranteed. $5 million. It's a fight I'd like to see, to be honest with you.
I think because Crawford was supposed to fight, or they're saying that he initially was supposed to fight
Louis Collazo.
Collazo, who was also an Al Haymon fighter.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, Crawford showed up at the Spence fight. Crawford showed up at the or not the Spence fight.
On the weekend, the Tyson Fury fight.
It was in Oklahoma City, I think. Remember when he went up to Spence and him and Spence kind of got into a shouting match?
Oh yeah, that was
a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And then you know, obviously he gets criticized on, like he's like, we just talked about Top Rank. Let's like keep. I mean, like, yeah, they're fighting a PBC fighter, but like
the Hooker and Salcedo fight.
I think it was Mo Hooker mm-hmm. and Salcedo. And then there were reports that came out that said, oh, he's gonna fight Luis Collazo, and we're like, people were like, what the hell? Like, he's like the best pound for pound fighter in the world. And then I think Bob Arum and Top Rank came out. It's like, well, all these other welterweights, PBC fighters, are tied up. You know, they're fighting each other. Like, we can't get fights with them and stuff. And then they put Collazo out there, and then Khan comes out of nowhere when Khan was talking about Brooke and Brooke was talking about Khan, and then we thought maybe that's what was gonna happen. And then Khan's name comes out of nowhere, like, hey, $5 million. Like, Crawford, like, what the hell? Where did that come from? But, I mean, if you think about it, Top Rank, Bob Arum's been in the game a long time. Because I did see somebody online say, hey, man, you know, this could be just like a long marketing tool where they throw Luis Collazo's name out there to get people riled up that Crawford's fighting Luis Collazo. And they let it simmer for a little bit, let people complain. And then they throw Khan's name in there because Khan is a bigger name and he's a better, you know, he's going to be better competition. So people are just like, well, I'd rather see Khan. So I'm cool with that, even though I'd like to see Crawford fight Thurman, Porter, these guys. So it's kind of like you're messing with people's emotions here. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, it's a fight I would definitely like to see. Amir Khan against Terence Crawford, you know. Amir Khan is very rarely in a boring fight.
Yeah.
You know, which is, seems to be why he always gets the big paydays. He has a good fan base over here, and obviously has a good fan base back home in England. And like Amir Khan said in a recent interview, he feels that even if he fights Terence Crawford, the Kell Brook fight will still be there. You know, those are two people who generally don't like each other.
They
generally don't like each other, you know, back from days when they used to spar. Khan, you know, why, to me, I can see why Khan would want to fight Terence Crawford. Why go and fight Kell Brook for nothing, you know?
Right.
Where he can fight, I imagine, for bigger money, on a bigger stage, over here in the US, for a world title.
Right.
To me, I totally agree with him. I can understand people say they want to see the Kell Brook fight because it's been, you know, that word they like to use nowadays, marinating,
yeah,
you know, for far too long. But the Crawford fight is a bigger fight. If you were Khan, why take kind of a step back and fight Kell Brook? Kell Brook hasn't really been fighting anybody. Amir Khan, if you look at his resume, he's fought Maidana, he's fought Canelo. He's never turned down those big fights, Garcia.
That's his thing, yeah.
You know,
so I think he's like, you know, I'm up for it. He's never really turned, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and I mean, people keep saying that, you know, it's a one-sided fight towards Terence Crawford, but
Khan always has a chance, regardless
he's
of his
so
chin.
Quick. If he sticks to a game plan,
yeah,
which it seems to be his big downfall,
yeah,
is that once he starts to get caught or starts to, you know, get slightly ahead and thinks he's winning, he wants to stand and fight.
Yeah.
You know, which by now you think he'd have learned not to, but it seems to be his downfall. You know, he just likes to fight.
Yeah.
But to me, definitely, it's a fight I would like to see.
I think it's going
to
happen.
I agree with you. I think it actually will.
There's no way Top Rank can be like, can make the Collazo fight now, getting people's like hopes up. Like, okay, well, yeah, I'd rather see Khan. And then they're like, oh, yeah, it didn't work out. We want Collazo. But it could be like, it could be a negotiating tactic where, I mean, obviously promoters do it all the time, but Bob Arum is very notorious for it, where he's just like, hey, we reached out to them. Like, we've tried to talk with, you know, PBC and stuff like that. And then they could go with Collazo and be like, they only offered Collazo. Like, we tried to make Khan and they didn't want to play ball. So it's like, it's not our fault. We tried. We offered them $5 million. You know, they try to make themselves look good. And I mean, all promoters are guilty of it.
Definitely.
It's a game. Yeah. We understand, you know, Golden Boy, Matchroom, you know, they all do it. So they've all been guilty. And then going into the former pound for pound king, Andre Ward, which isn't really surprising to me. James Prince, his longtime manager for Andre Ward, said recently, you know, that there's obviously a chance that Ward could come back. What was the quote? He said, "You never know. There may be a to be continued situation. Andre is a retired fighter right now. I believe that all things are possible. I'll leave it at that. All things are possible. If the right situation is presented, is allowed, you never know." So, and that was on another podcast, the Ringside Toe to Toe podcast. I mean, if the money's there, you know what? It just like anything, like I could see Joshua fighting Ward.
Yeah, well,
people want Fury or Wilder.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're just like, they're not, you don't think about Ward because you're like, you got to fight Fury or Wilder, nobody else. But if Ward jumps in, people are going to be like, holy crap, I forgot about this. I would see this.
Yeah, because if, literally, I think it was just a few weeks ago, Eddie Hearn came out and said he had five people in mind for
one of
April.
One of them was an X factor or something like that?
Yeah, something along the lines.
A wild card.
One of them was a wild card. There you go. You know, a lot of people jumped to the Klitschko brothers.
Yeah.
Saying, you know, one of them may come out of retirement. It may be them. They're going to be the wild card. So, yeah, it could be Andre Ward. You know, it'd obviously be kind of easier for him to make weight. How long has he been retired now, Danny? A year?
No, longer, I think.
Longer than a year?
Yeah.
18 months or so?
I think so. I don't think two years yet. But
I'd imagine he's put on a few pounds. So, you know, maybe easier for him to make something like heavyweight rather than, you know, trying to drop down to cruiserweight or light heavyweight.
I mean, remember Virgil Hunter said following the second Kovalev fight, they asked him and they said, he's like, yeah. He's like, I think Andre could take Joshua. He's like, I could see that fight. He's like, I think Andre can beat Joshua. And people are like, what the hell? Like,
yeah. There would definitely be a huge size difference in there. You know, skill factor, though, obviously you're going to go with someone like Ward.
Yeah.
It would be like a David Hay, Nikola Valuyev type of situation, yeah. You know, the size difference.
Or if you look at like guys like Povetkin. Povetkin's like 6'3", so he's got like 2 inches on Ward. But, you know, Povetkin's a small guy when he fights guys like, you know,
the whole of the division.
Yeah.
I mean, he's always been a smaller guy. Yeah.
So, but he's got, you know, he's got the technique and the power, so.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
Price, look at, he knocked out 6'6" David Price.
How about, you know, coming back to fight someone like Usyk, you know, the ex pound for pound, cruiserweight.
Man.
You know?
That'd be cool. Usyk Ward?
You got the old retired unbeaten against the new generation, you know?
I could see that. I mean, I think Ward's going to come back in 2019.
He's had a layoff, gets the paydays, payday.
I think he's going to do it. I think he's going to do it. But, you know, we'll see. Our favorite publicity boxer in the company, or not in the company, in the sport, Floyd Money Mayweather, is playing with our emotions again. Right before we got on air, literally, right before we got on air, we received a press release from Swanson Communications, who is the marketing company for a lot of companies, especially PBC and stuff like that, saying that Mayweather versus the MMA fighter from Ryzen, Tenshin Nasukawa, is actually official. They're actually going to fight. So at first they said they weren't, then they were after the press conference, and now they sent out a press conference saying, or they sent out a press release saying that they're going to fight on New Year's Eve in Japan. They're going to fight on New Year's Eve from the Saitama Prefecture Super Arena in Saitama, Japan. And here are the rules, because a lot of people don't know the rules. They want to know the rules because people thought, is it going to be an MMA fight? Is it going to be a boxing fight? Is it going to be like a private event? What's going on? This is the official rules because it's in the press release. So that, you know, they thought about this. They negotiated this. These are the following rules and regulations. 3 minutes per round for three rounds. So it's only three rounds, 3 minute rounds. So 9 minutes. Straight boxing rules. So it's boxing. You can't kick. You can't choke. Submissions. You can't do anything like that. They're both going to wear 8 ounce gloves, which, like you mentioned before we went on air, Mayweather traditionally likes to wear 10 ounce gloves. Because of his brittle hands.
Exactly, yeah, for people who don't know.
So that's interesting.
Mm.
But maybe he conceded on that. He's like, oh, it's only 9 minutes. You know, I've been in 12-minute rounds or 12-round fights and stuff like that. You know, obviously he has the stamina to keep going. So it's going to be a welterweight, 147 pounds. No judges. This is literally just like an exhibition fight because...
But no winner?
Essentially, yeah. But it's not going to be on any boxing or MMA records. Nothing. Like, it's literally just kind of like a sparring session. But then it says, then it also says this will be full contact competition, but the bout is going on boxing, but the bout is not going on boxing or MMA records. See, it's kind of, I'm kind of confused by that because it's at a couple bullet points above, it says straight boxing rules, but then it says at the bottom, this will be full contact competition. That's kind of contradicting both statements. So, I don't know if they realize that because that is kind of confusing. But I don't know. I'm assuming it is just straight boxing. But I mean, are we really surprised that this didn't happen? I knew it was going to happen. He went over there for the press conference. He did his thing, and then he came out and said, "Oh yeah, I never agreed to anything." And it was just to build up some publicity.
Yeah, build up publicity, maybe even a power play, so that you know they announce it and then he rejects it, makes them kind of look silly. He does a power play, gets the rules the way that he wants the rules. You know, obviously just straight boxing, exhibition. In the rumor is he's going to be taking home, or if it's true, like $88 million for 9 minutes of work. So, you know, Floyd wins again.
I'm surprised. $88 million, it's still a ton of money, obviously. But yeah. He was always the guy who said like, oh, no, I'm a $100 million fighter. Like, that's my minimum. Like,
Maybe that's for 12 rounds, Danny.
Yeah. Maybe. I was supposed to say it's three rounds.
Yeah. Nearly $10 million a round, like, minute.
Maybe that's how they convinced them. Like, hey man, you know, you get paid for 12 rounds, $100 million. Like, give us a discount. We'll give you 88 instead.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, okay, you're right. Like,
$10 million a minute, I'd take that.
Yeah. So I mean, that's insane, man. So that's in Japan. You know, it's gonna be they're gonna make a ton of money over there. You know,
a little
Mayweather going over to Japan, and Japan's obviously got a historic fighting history. So. You know, we'll see how it turns out. But
a little warm-up before Manny Pacquiao 2?
I think it's going to happen. Pacquiao wouldn't have signed with Heyman if Heyman didn't say, look, you beat these guys, and we'll promise you that we'll negotiate the Mayweather fight. So
The winner of Broner Pack gets Floyd later in the year?
I can see it, the end of 2019. I can see it, honestly.
Because they fight in January, so you think he takes back that September date? The usual Mexican holiday in Vegas takes that away from Canelo.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. He has no shame. He would do it.
Yeah, well, I'm sure the MGM, you know, who always hosts his fights. They've been good to him through the years, so yeah. I'm sure they'll give it
but
to
honestly,
him.
But honestly, it's in Golden Boy and DAZN's best interest right now to put reservations on all these big arenas right now, Vegas, New York, and stuff, especially Vegas. Like they should put like those Cinco de Mayo weekends. It's like it's in their best interest to. Put reservations on those dates if they haven't already.
Well, it's his city, Danny.
Yeah, you're right.
Vegas is his city.
No, it is. Yeah. It is. Yeah. He would get it.
Yeah.
But, you know, Canelo has to make an attempt.
Yeah.
So
it'd be interesting to see who Canelo tries to fight on those big dates, the May and September, the Mexican holidays that Floyd used to use.
Yeah.
Because obviously last year we had Triple G Canelo, you know, was supposed to be on both of those dates.
Yep.
Then obviously the first one fell through. So it'll be interesting who Canelo picks as those big names this year.
I mean, I don't know. Canelo's at the point right now, just like Mayweather, where he has the power. Mm-hmm. So like anybody would be stupid not to fight him. Like, yeah, oh, you have to come to DAZN. All right, I'll come to DAZN. Like, because that's a big fight. They're going to get paid a lot. And if they beat him, they beat one of the biggest fighters in the world. So
yeah, it's life-changing money.
Yeah,
you know, you get the Canelo fight. That's life changing money. Look at Rocky Fielding. You know,
yeah. So
you're taking that fight.
So like you know the Charlo brothers or something. Like you know they'd be stupid not to like if that's a serious negotiation. Yeah, you know Canelo will fight you, but you have to find DAZN. I mean, it's just like Jacobs. Jacobs, I'm sure, told Al Heyman, "Hey man, I want to fight Triple G and these guys. Like, you know, let me go to HBO." And they made a deal with HBO to fight in there, and he got a Triple G fight, and you know. And you never know. He could get a Canelo fight next year. You never know. But wrapping up here, of course, episode 12. Fortunately, we didn't have Mauricio Herrera here. That would have been a great conversation, especially after what happened this past weekend with Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder, and then the coincidence between the judge in Herrera Garcia's fight a couple years ago and now Tyson Fury Wilder, which, oh, did we even touch on Fury Wilder? I don't even know if we did.
I think we kind of skipped over it, didn't we? We missed it, yeah.
I think we kind of skipped over. We just kind of went with the groove. Oh, man. I mean, real quick, obviously, you know, as obviously it's been talked about in all these media outlets. I scored it for Fury, 115-111.
Yeah,
But I did look at the stats after, because, like, people need to realize, especially when you're ringside, you score round by round. It's hard to, like, the angles, you don't have the TV angles right there.
Yeah, the replays.
So you got to cut those people a break who scored it. Like Dan Rayfield from ESPN scored it for Wilder.
Yeah, disgraceful.
And people were giving him crap.
Disgraceful.
So, but if you look at the, I think the CompuBox stats, I don't know if it's CompuBox, but whatever they use, the connections weren't that far apart.
No, it's true, yeah.
They were pretty close. So, I mean, but in terms of Fury's were a lot more because he was boxing him. So they looked like he was controlling the tempo, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But then he got knocked down, and he almost lost it in the 12, which I still don't know how the hell he got up.
That's unbelievable. He come back.
Like,
yeah.
Like they memed it like The Undertaker from WWE. So, but yeah, I still don't know how he got up, because I remember when he went down, he was and you got to give credit, just like they've been saying for the last couple of days, you got to give credit to the referee, Jack Reese, for not waving it off, because a lot of referees would have waved it off right there, because literally he was out.
Yeah.
And then 4 or 5 seconds later, he just kind of wakes up. He's like, okay, I'm getting up. He got up at the count of 9. So. Yeah.
It was a great fight. My review on the fight, I had it about 9-3, 8-4, if I was being really nice to Wilder. Even in the 12th round, Fury obviously got knocked down, 10-8 round. But he got back up, and to me, he actually kind of won that round. He connected on Wilder.
Yeah.
Had Wilder kind of stumbling around. I thought the first knockdown.
Yeah, he came back, and it's like he made him stay back.
Yeah, yeah. He kind of actually took control of the round for the rest of it. Obviously,
that was just insane.
About 2 minutes of the round, because he got knocked down fairly early on. In the 9th round, when he got knocked down, that to me, that was honestly more of a flash knockdown.
I agree with that.
It looked like he tried to roll the punch, and he didn't go low enough underneath, and he caught him on the back of the head. You know, probably knocked off his equilibrium.
Yeah,
kind of went down a little bit.
On a temple, kind of.
Yeah, because Fury, you know, he was down on the floor, and he put his hand, you know, above his brow, looking up in the sky, like messing around, kind of showing everybody that he wasn't really hurt.
Yeah.
No, they're big guys. He tried to roll underneath the punch, got caught, went down. More of a flash knockdown to me.
Yeah.
And he got back up and he controlled that round. I find it absolutely disgraceful that they actually scored it to Wilder. Not just saying that because I'm British, you know, I actually wasn't the biggest fan of Fury, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
His story coming back from that weight and everything that he went through.
It was
so annoying that they ruined it, because giving it a draw, we may see the rematch. If Fury had won, it was in the contract, they were going to get a rematch.
Yeah.
You know, it was just stupid to me. I don't understand how people scored it that way, because he controlled the whole fight.
Yeah.
In some of those rounds, I was laughing because he made Wilder look so amateurish. He was throwing wild punches. Some of the punches hit the ropes because he was ducking going around it. They interviewed Floyd Mayweather after 5 rounds. Floyd Mayweather said,
Fury.
He said, who's winning? Floyd laughed and said, oh, I've got Fury 5-0 up.
Yeah.
Interviewed everybody else on the ringside. Everybody said
Fury.
How they scored it the other way to me is actually disgraceful. And that the referee, Alejandro Rochin or something like that, the guy, should be banned.
Yeah.
How, even with take away the knockdowns and all that sort of stuff, he had Wilder so far ahead. It was unbelievable. We gave him like the first 4 or 5 rounds when nobody else gave him that. What earth was he watching? And then he did the same thing to Mauricio Herrera.
Against Danny Garcia.
Absolutely disgraceful. They should be like retrained or something like that. It was that bad.
You never know, man.
Even the English one who gave it a draw. What the frick was he watching? Yeah. I don't understand, dude.
Tell us honestly how you really feel, Mike.
When I watched it that night, I was going crazy at the TV. Because I was like, oh my God, he's actually done it. He's come back. He's done it. He's schooled him. We're going to see the rematch anyway because he's the champ, you know. They always get, you know, they'll put it in the contract. Hey, if I lose my belt, I want an immediate rematch.
Yeah.
So he was going to get it. Why give it a draw? So, and then
we're going to see it again.
But then it's twice though. This year, like Canelo triple G was a draw. Yeah. It's just
We're going to see it again.
I don't know. It's just
we're going to see it again.
It's boxing shooting itself in the foot.
Yeah.
Because people say, oh, boxing's corrupt. And then that stuff like that happens.
It's stuff like that happens. You're right. You're right.
You were going to see the rematch anyway. So it's kind of like, if it was like they were paid off, what's the point? We were going to see the rematch anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know, dude. It's stuff like that just makes boxing. You just sit there and you're shaking your head. You know, we're in boxing's kind of, you know, doing the media.
And we're still here.
Having a podcast.
Even though we go through all this stuff and this alleged corruption or whatever, we're still here every week. Every week. And we'll still be here. We'll still be here next week, too, for episode 13. I'm sure we'll touch on more of a Wilder Fury. I'm sure there'll be more stuff we could talk about in terms of news and notes next week.
Yeah, sure. Fury will be in the papers all the time now. Yeah. Now he's back.
So, the Mac is back. But, we appreciate you listening to the episode 12 of the Last Round Podcast, whether you're listening to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Audio Boom, anything on your way to work, on your way home to work. Laying in bed, whatever you're eating, however you're listening, we appreciate it. As I mentioned, we apologize for not having Mauricio Herrera, but he was a little under the weather. But we'll try to get him on in the first quarter of the new year, hopefully, and then get his take on the landscape of boxing and what's next for him, and then his opinion on the judge, Rochin, who was a judge for the Wilder Fury and his battle against Garcia a couple of years ago. But last word, Mike, what do you got?
Yeah, obviously the same thing I say every week. Give us a review on iTunes if you can. The more reviews we get, the more visibility we get as a podcast. We've got some more good guests coming on in the next few weeks that I might not say the names at the minute, just in case you fall through like they did today.
Not yet.
In about 2 weeks' time, we're going to have the end of year review. So I'll have my fighter of the year, my round of the year, my knockout of the year, trainer of the year. I'll have mine. Danny Z will have his. We won't, we'll compare them. We'll talk about them. We're also going to have a special guest, one of the biggest and best guests, one of the most listened to episodes that we've had so far. He's going to be back in the studio.
Hopefully he's coming back.
Yeah, exactly. He says he is, but like today, you never know. Depends on weather and stuff like that. He'll be back in and he'll be doing his 2018 fighter of the year, round of the year, trainer of the year, all that sort of stuff. And we'll also be going over his career for 2018 and what we'd like to see, in 2019. So that'll be a good episode, probably be a long episode because we'll be touching on that. I'm sure time will fly past in that episode.
Oh, yeah, big time.
So,
but, looking forward to it. Last part of the year coming up quick. We got some solid boxing still coming up. But like we said, thank you for listening to episode 12 of The Last Round. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Last Round 12. Tweet us, message us, send us direct messages. Let us know what you want to see on the show, what you want to hear, what kind of guests you want to get on, if there's any guests that you feel we should get on. Anybody in boxing, anybody in the sport, anybody. It doesn't even have to be in the sport. As long as they want to talk about boxing, we can try to get them on. Just let us know, and we'll see what we can do and kind of go from there. But once again, I'm Danny Z for Michael Shepherd. This is The Last Round.
Thanks for supporting and listening to the show. Follow us at The Last Round 12 on social media. Rate, review, and subscribe. This is...